If you would, turn to James 4, and I'm not going to do a Bible study in James 4, but I want us to notice something, and we'll just start reading in verse 2, okay? It says, well, in verse 1 it says, from whence comes wars and fightings from among you? Do they not even come from your lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, and yet you have not, because you ask not. And you ask, and you receive not, because you ask amiss. What I find interesting here is this is 29 years. This is a church that's been well established. The general epistles were written to all the churches. And this is 29 years after Jesus was dead. So I think they're kind of a lot like you and I. We've been coming to church for a long time. We know the Sabbath. We know the holy days. We know the clean and unclean meats. We've been chugging along for a long time, keeping the laws, and yet we find a group of people who are praying, or either not praying when they should, or if they are praying, they're not getting them answered. I thought it might be good for us just to talk about, see if we can understand answered prayer, and what is the part that we play? How does God answer prayer, and what is the part that we play? Now, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians, and I've just got about 4 points, right? I'm going to just give probably 1 point or 1 scripture on each one. But in 2 Corinthians, we remember that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And he kept praying and he kept bringing it up to God. I'm sure he was anointed, but it wasn't going away. And finally, in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, we see that sometimes when we pray, the answer is just no. And here's what he said to Paul. He says, my grace is sufficient unto you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So sometimes when we ask for something, God says no. But we learn something interesting. Now, Paul was very fortunate because God told him the reasons why. But what you and I can learn from this is we see the nature of God in play. Even when God says no, he's not doing it to mean. He's not doing it because he's tired. Hey, you've asked too many things of me, man. I'm going to say no because I've said yes 12 times. No, he has a perfectly good reason, and that reason is for Paul's own benefit. He said, you know what? The way you're wired, I'm trying to convert you. I'm trying to have you make a major impact on the church. And this is going to keep you just humble enough that all of the things I will do through you won't go to your head. So we see that when God says no, he's doing it for a loving reason. Okay? Now we're going to find out that sometimes it's yes, but it doesn't look like it. If you would, go to Daniel 10, and we'll start in verse 12. We see that God answers a prayer, but there's a delay. You and I, we like things right now. I want it now. I want it right away. If you were in New York, we'd say a New York minute, meaning that I wanted it yesterday, right? So look at what God tells us here in Daniel 10 and verse 12. And then he said unto me, do not fear Daniel. Now, if you remember, the background here is he has been fasting for 3 weeks. He'd been fasting and praying and supplicating God for 3 weeks. Now, look at what the angel tells him. He says, do not fear Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me these 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, he came to help me. So here we see something interesting. God responded right away, but on earth it looks like a delay. It looks like it's not being answered. It looks like we're being ignored. But that's not the cosmic reality. The reality was God responded right away. He heard the prayer. He said, yes, I can come give you understanding, no problem. But sometimes we have to wait for God's timing. We have to wait for these things to be delayed or revealed, right? We have to wait for the fruits of this answered prayer to come. Now there's another thing that's interesting. There's a part that we play. Not just anyone does God do it. God looks for certain qualities when he answers a prayer. And humility is one of the keys to having answered prayer. If you will, turn over to 1 Peter. We'll just turn back to 1 Peter here. And we will see that God is saying that this is an important quality and it's not something to be taken lightly, right? So in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourself unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed. Be clothed. Let it cover you. It should cover, wrap you up. It's something you put on. Be clothed with humility. For why? For God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. I think about this. God is a friend to those who are humble. And he's an enemy to those who are not, those who are prideful, right? So how many prayers get answered if it's your friend? Think about this. So if my cell phone rings, ring, 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 what do? I look and see, who is it? Now, if I see it says John Murphy, oh, I answer it. Oh, John, he's a friend. But if it says telemarketer, oh, that's an enemy of mine. I'm ignoring that thing. I'm not going to answer that call, right? So here we see humility is one of these elements. Now, we don't have time, but if you put in your notes Daniel 9, verses 3 to 21, one of the most beautiful prayers that I've ever read in my life, all right? And you see, with this type of humility, how God responds. It's a great example of the type of humility that God responds to. Now, we're going to look at another scripture in 1 John 3. We see that God answers prayers, but he does it to those who are obeying him, not to those who are disobeying him, right? So in 1 John 3 and verse 22, God says, and whatsoever we ask of him, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do things that are pleasing in his sight. So once again, we see there's a part that we play in answered prayer. God wants us obeying him. He wants us doing things that are pleasing to him. He's not raising little spoiled brats that just do anything they want and say, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. You're the genie in the bottle. I want this. I want it now. He's not going to help us destroy our character, right? So that's interesting there. Now I want us to think of something that you might not have thought of this way before. And that is, a lot of times God answers prayers. He says, sure, I'll do that for you. But he does it. He answers it through opportunity. All right? So for example, all right, so I'm going to give us three examples of how this principle works, this concept works. What if you say, you know what, God, I want to be great. Help me be really great, really powerful, really make a dynamic impact. Then God would say, oh, okay. So go to Matthew 20 and verse 26. And it says, "If yet it shall not be so among you." So the scribes and Pharisees, they wanted the chief seats. They wanted to say, hey, let me sit up front, you know, have the fanfare. And he says, don't let that be among you, for whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. So if you tell God, I want to be great, he's going to say, great, I'm all for that. And he's going to send you many, many, many chances, opportunities to serve other people, to bow down and help them. Many times it might be people that can do nothing for you. There'll be no glamour, no limelight. This is also what's interesting, you know, in the book of James, you know, it's if you serve the widows and the orphans. These are people that don't have things to give back to you. So God's going to give you dozens and dozens, hundreds. This might span years. It might span decades of giving you opportunities to choose, to serve, to build up, to humble yourself for someone else's betterment. He says, if you want to be great, I'm going to give you these opportunities. This cannot be done in an instant. This takes time. And sometimes we look at it and we think God's just ignored us, but it's not the case, right? Let's take another example. You say, oh, God, I'm lonely. I want friends. I need friends. And God will say, great. So go to Proverbs 18, verse 24. If you pray for friends, God's going to give you opportunities to be a friend. And as a consequence, you'll wind up having friends, right? So what does it say in Proverbs 18 and verse 24? It says, a man who has friends must first show himself friendly, right? So there it is. We start to see there's a cause and effect relationship. When we want these things, we have to understand that it takes time to get these. It takes time to build the character, put us in a position so that we can have these things. All right. So God answers prayers many times through giving us the opportunity to become what is needed so that that gift is the natural result of who we are, what we are. All right. Let's take another example. What if we say, you know, I'm just so impatient. It's causing me lots of trouble. It irritates my wife. God, give me patience. So what do you think is going to happen? God says, sure, that's a great trait. I want all my kids to have the trait of patience. So what is he going to do? Well, he's going to start giving you lots of tests to your faith, right? Why do I know that? Let's go to James in chapter 1 and verse 3, all right? So we start to see the Bible is full of all of these. If you want this, then do that. It's a cause and effect relationship. It says, so in chapter 1 in verse 3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. And patience, let patience have her first work. So we start to see there's this cause and effect relationship. You want this trait? Well, I first got to do this. It's no different than if someone says, hey, I want a fire. Well, go get the wood, go get the kindling, go get the matches. We need these things so you can have a fire, right? No different in high school or junior high. If my daughter came to me, Dad, I want a job that pays $150,000 a year. Can you give that to me? I said, I can help you make that happen. Now we're going to send you to school. We're going to send you to college. You're going to get a degree. But what degree? We're going to get a degree that pays $150,000 a year and one that there's going to be people doing it. Then we're going to teach you how to interview and train and present yourself. Then we're going to get you a job so you're a good worker, right? There's all these things I would do as a father to answer her request. A prayer is a request, right? So God is doing the same things. He's saying, if you want to have this trait, well, I got to do this in you. And some of these traits require other traits. And so all of these things come back to that God is developing children. He wants us to have his nature, right? So the Bible is full of these instructions. And if we take anything in the fruits of the Spirit or any of the Beatitudes, the principle's the same. In order to be kind, God's going to give you lots of opportunities. If I tend to be selfish and say, help me be generous, well, God's going to give me lots of opportunities to what? Give away my money, right? Give away my time. And then I will learn to be the very treat that I'm asking for. So answered prayer comes from all of these things. One of the big things is that God gives us opportunity to develop these traits. And I do believe it's with this perspective that when we think about and we pray and ask God and say, oh, I asked God for this. Did he give it to me? If we don't see it right away, we can ask ourselves, well, did I have the right attitude? Was I humble? Was the answer no, and do I just need to accept in faith that it was no for a reason for my own benefit? And if it's delayed, it could be delayed, or he might be just working out the character traits so that he can give me, that some of these things take a time. So I need to just be focused on taking advantage of the opportunities God gives me to become like him.